welcome to Comic Talk Today for Tuesday, July 31st, 2018. And it is time to talk a little bit about the news. And there isn't a whole lot of news going on. The reason for that is we just had San Diego Comic Con. How much more news do you need? But there are some interesting tidbits of material that I wanted to discuss on this episode. And I know some of you are probably anticipating me talking about the fact that 21st Century Fox is being officially acquired by Disney, which means Fantastic Four and the X-Men are coming home. And guess what? I'm not talking about that because I want to spend a little more time on that particular topic. I will be discussing what I feel is good and what's bad about the acquisition on tomorrow's episode. But really interesting that this finally happened, and I have some theories, some ideas, and if you want to listen to those, check out tomorrow's episode. There are a couple of trailers that I wanted to briefly discuss. The first one up is not quite comic related. It's Castlevania. There's a Castlevania Season 2 trailer out, and you're thinking to yourself, Martin, that's not comics. This is Comic Talk Today. And you're right, it's not comics, although there were Castlevania comics. But the show is being written by Warren Ellis, a writer whom I absolutely love. And so I wanted to bring it up. I really enjoyed the first season. It was a very short season. I think it was 6 episodes. The second season is going to be 10, which is nice because it means that they'll have a little more room to breathe and tell the story a little bit longer. And the trailer looks fantastic. Check the show notes. I'll have a link to that on there as well. If you're listening to this on the day that it comes out, on Tuesday, you should be looking forward to the brand new Venom trailer that will be released today. Now, of course, we did see a trailer, kind of, more of a teaser. Was it a couple months back? Month? 2 months ago? And it was not received very well for multiple reasons. I think in particular people were hung up on the whole symbiote thing, and I hope that's fixed. But supposedly we're going to be seeing the entire Venom costume in this. All we've really seen so far is his head, and that does look pretty comics accurate. We do know that he's not going to have the spider emblem on his chest. That's at least what I hear, but I look forward to checking out the trailer, and of course I'll be talking about it on a later episode. The Iron Fist Season 2 trailer also came out, and I really, really enjoyed it. I know I'm in the minority of people who really enjoyed the first season of Iron Fist, and I'm not saying that because it was a great season. It wasn't. It was far from perfect. There were a lot of plot holes. The acting was just okay. The action was kind of meh. But I love Iron Fist. I really do. I love Iron Fist, and it was nice to see that character on screen. But the teasers that we've seen so far for Iron Fist Season 2 look really interesting. By the way, the season comes out on Netflix on September 7th, and this is going to be a shorter season than most of the Netflix shows. It's going to be a 10-episode season, which I think is what Punisher did. And I think the shorter seasons really do work much better for these kind of shows, in particular for this one, based on the reception of Season 1. The brand new trailer, though, is pretty interesting. It definitely has callbacks to kind of the origin story of Iron Fist, and we do see some flashback scenes where Iron Fist is fighting it out in his original costume, the white costume with the yellow mask, and I thought it looked great. The action looks pretty fun as well, so I'm looking forward to seeing the show when it debuts on September 7th. I recommend you check that trailer out and let me know what you think at GeekVine on Twitter, or of course, email nerdylegion@gmail.com. And while we're kind of on the Netflix front, it seems that Netflix has kind of hinted at what they're working on with the whole Miller World project that they've been developing. And there's quite a few. There's 5 different projects going on. We now know that there's going to be 2 live-action shows. One is a Jupiter's Legacy, which I'm very curious to see how they're going to translate that into TV, but I look forward to seeing it. And the other one is American Jesus. The movies are going to be 2 based on existing properties and 1 on a new property. We've got Empress, which is a fabulous book. I really enjoy that. Huck, which might be my favorite all-time thing that Mark Miller has done. Quite possibly. If not the top, then maybe like top 3 for sure. And it's kind of like a retelling of the Superman story. Really, really interesting stuff. And the third one is Sharky the Bounty Hunter, a book which is not out yet, so we know that this will be announced at some point. I find it curious that there's no mention here of Magic Order. And I figure the Magic Order would be one of those series that would be primed for TV, right? A TV show, we'll say. Because right, you know, it's going on right now. It's selling fantastic. The June numbers for comic books came out. It was the number two most sold comic for June of 2018. I think it sold like after the returnability percentage, which is about 10%. The numbers that Diamond gave out were roughly 157,000 copies, which is absolutely fantastic. I think the original ordering on it was 170 something thousand. So you figure out the math, whatever the math is. And it did extremely well. So I'm sure they're very happy with that. Some of it, I'm sure, has to do with the fact that the book was announced that it would not be reorderable. There would be no second printings and things like that. So I'm sure that helped a little bit. And, you know, there's always a speculator market, right? Because we have a new property. This is the first time that we're having a TV slash movie studio wholeheartedly own a comic book company. I know you're going to say, well, Warner Brothers owns DC and Marvel owns, or Disney owns Marvel. And yes, you're right. But, you know, the explicit reason for Miller going over to Netflix, to being acquired by Netflix, is a little bit different than the other acquisitions. And I think it's a really interesting move because Netflix is extremely savvy with their digital marketing. And something that I think Disney and Warner Brothers haven't really tackled quite well yet. But, kind of disappointed that there's no Magic Order series announced. I have been really enjoying that book. There's two issues out right now. It gets better and better every time I read it. So I hope that at some point they do announce it. But as of right now, it looks like these five things are the ones that are being developed. So the Jupiter's Legacy and American Jesus TV shows, and then Empress Huck and Sharky the Bounty Hunter on feature films for Netflix. And I'm sure that at some point the Netflix might decide to put these out on an actual theater, right? They do original movies quite a bit for their service, but there are times when they will produce a movie and put it in theaters in order to get Oscar nominations. So if some of these maybe have a budget high enough, and these being developed pretty much in-house, right? It's not a Netflix original that they're purchasing from another studio or another company or another country. It's very possible that we'll see these on the big screen, so that could be pretty interesting. As far as Sharky the Bounty Hunter, it's the only one that doesn't have a comic that's been released yet, and it centers around a spacefaring bounty hunter and a young man that's under his protection, and that's about all we know. And the movie is being written by Michael Bacall, who is the writer for Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, which is a very interesting adaptation of a very interesting comic book. So I look forward to seeing how that one ends up going. There were some images released for the upcoming season 5 of Gotham, and it seems like the show, this fifth and final season, is going to be very much centered on the Court of Owls. And I think that's really awesome because I love, that might be my favorite thing that Snyder did with that whole run of the universe, is introducing the Court of Owls. I think that whole arc and the arc immediately after is just absolutely brilliant work. By far and away the best New 52 story to come out of that whole thing. And the picture looks pretty awesome. They look a little Mad Maxy, and we see a group of, which I'm assuming are Talons, which if you've been watching the show, you know that a large chunk of the League got assassinated by the Talons. And so now it seems like they're kind of struck out on their own, and they're going to be a big part of the upcoming season. Really, really awesome to see. I will, I'll tweet out the picture because I think it's pretty interesting. Of course, you know, it's kind of hard to tell sometimes in pre-production pictures how well this will look on film, but I'm pretty excited to see a deep dive into the Court of Owls. They're doing a lot of interesting stuff in Gotham, and I know the show has kind of waxed and waned for me a little bit. There's been some kind of so-so episodes, but you know, the way that the last season ended was, I thought, really, really brilliant. And I look forward to seeing this final season, even though it seems like they're doing stuff they said originally they would never do, like actually showing Batman, Bruce Wayne in Batman costume. Something they said that would never happen. But you know what? When it's your final season, you do whatever you want. So I hope they go all out on this final season, and I look forward to it. Court of Owls, bring it on. Final bit of newsy bits is another DC newsy bit. Dan DiDio wants 8 monthly Walmart DC comics. Wow. Because we haven't had enough backlash from retailers on this thing. Now, the news for this came out, I don't know, a day or two ago. And I don't know if people just haven't seen it or people just don't care anymore. I'm not sure what the deal is. By the way, I've been consistently going to Walmart to try to acquire the books that I was missing. The when I went the first time, the only one that I found was the Justice League of America, and I did end up going and grabbing Batman, Superman, and Teen Titans. Matter of fact, I was in there yesterday, and the display was full. So whatever the market for this thing is, I think those people have already acquired the books that they want, and I'm not sure how well this will be selling going forward. Now, in each box, I think generally the number of issues in each box is between 4 and 6, and you know, of course they're going to sell it pretty quickly. But that's a nice chunk of change for DC, because if they're selling these in 3,000 stores, you know, 3,000 stores times even just 4 is 12,000 copies per book. And I think it's a pretty solid number for something that they're using as a means of bringing in new readers in a market that they don't really have a foothold in, right? Walmart's tried comics before, and it seems like this is doing very well. But I do still feel like a lot of these are selling more to comic fans that want these new stories and not necessarily to kids that are just kind of walking around Walmart and see these books. And part of the reason is that the fact that they're in the collector's aisle, and I hate to reiterate all this stuff because I talked about this when it was first announced, when these books first came out. I think the ideal place for this would be directly in front of each checkout line. And I know that's probably a lot to ask of Walmart, because for anyone that has worked in retail that is familiar with the way retail works, you know, those spaces are paid for by vendors, right? It's not like Walmart wants to carry Mentos and like, here's your spot for Mentos. We're going to put it here. You know, the company would pay for that space. So if they pay more, they're going to get an eye level shelf. If they pay less, they're going to be at the bottom. If they pay almost nothing, well, guess what? They might just get, you know, discontinued out of the store. I think based on the particulars of this deal, it's probably not feasible for DC to get that much center stage. And of course, we as comic fans want that, right? We want everybody to be able to see these books and pick them up and get them. And I get that. I would love that as well. But economically, it does not work in the retail market. So I understand why it's in the collectibles section, and I think that's an okay place for it. I think it just depends on how it's set up in some stores, right? Some stores have it facing the line going in front of the checkouts. Some have it kind of sideways next to one of the registers. I know in all the stores near me, it's in the aisle between the last manned register and the self-checkout lines. And so there's not a whole lot of traffic in that particular section. I guess maybe if you're walking out of the bathrooms, I don't know. Another ideal place, I think, though, would be back in electronics where they have the book section. And if the DO wants this to expand, they need to make it more visible, I think. I think that's definitely the key. And he didn't mention anything about what titles they would want to put in here. But, I mean, we can assume that there would be some kind of heavy hitter ones, right? So I think Wonder Woman would be kind of a shoe-in, right? The fact that the Justice League book is kind of a Wonder Woman book is a little odd, so I could see them doing Wonder Woman, especially once the next installment of the movies come out, the Wonder Woman 1984. I'm very surprised that they haven't done Harley Quinn, and I don't know if it's because maybe they don't know how they would market that in one of these stores, right? Like Batman, Justice League, Superman, Teen Titans, that's easy to market. But how would you market Harley Quinn, right? If you want this for new fans, do you want to do more of a YA Harley story, or do you want to tell something that would be more appropriate for a more adult audience or a more mature audience? I think that's something that would be a little tough. But Harley Quinn would sell, right? Because the book that they have sells very well. Green Lantern, I don't know about that one. There could be some interesting things they could do with, like Super Sons, for example. In particular, once they launch these new imprints, the YA imprint and the kids imprint, they could definitely do Super Sons. And I think Super Sons has a very wide appeal, and that could work out very well. In particular, because kids would see, hey, it's this guy kind of dressed like Robin and this guy kind of dressed like Superman. I wonder what that's about. Okay, that would be an interesting way of bringing it in, if they were to expand some of these. I saw some suggestions for other things like Sandman and stuff, and I think that's a little odd because the people that would want these, I don't know if they would want to go for a Sandman. It just seems a little odd, right? Same with like Green Lantern. I would love to see one, but how well would that do, right? the movie wasn't well received, and that's, I think, the majority of people, that's about what they know of Green Lantern, right? We as comic fans might know who it is, but outside of the comic fans, I mean, I'm not sure that that would do very well. But, really interesting stuff. And he said, the goal is to build an alternate style of periodical, which acts as an entry point for new fans with new material to excite existing fans as well. And that's cool. But how can they expand this line is what I'm curious about, right? I mean, the profit margin can't be very high on this to begin with. If the books are, what is it, $3.99, $4.99? $4.99, I think it is. For a 100-page book. Granted, the paper is, you know, kind of newsprinty, so the costs are much lower. The majority of the book are reprinted stories, so there's not a lot of overhead in paying creators to tell original stories. But we do know that Bendis and Tom King have their stories coming up in Superman and Batman. And so, you know, there is some kind of overhead to pay the talent. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I know Bendis was posting some images of Batman, his Batman story on his Twitter account. Highly recommend you go check those out. I mean, that Batman looks absolutely beautiful. Is that weird to say that Batman looks beautiful? Listen, Batman looks beautiful in that picture. Matter of fact, I made it my wallpaper on my phone because I love the image so much. But, yeah, overall, I'm curious to see how this is going to end up working out for them. My assumption is if he wants to expand, the line is doing extremely well there. And, you know, they're restocking him, I guess, every week. And then you get new books monthly or bi-monthly. I can't remember exactly what the release schedule on these things is. But it seems to be doing well. I'm just curious to see if Walmart is willing to take the chance on this thing. Because they've tried many different comic book initiatives, and none of them seem to really work out. So we'll see. I'll definitely be following this very closely. And it almost seems from the stuff that Didio said that he almost wants a very large section, right? And I think Walmart tried to pilot some of this. What was it, like a year ago, 2 years ago? They did a pilot program for trades and comics at some stores in the book section, which I think is the more logical place than the collectible section. And that didn't do quite as well. But, you know, for DC, this would be a win-win, right? If they're able to get automatic inclusion in 3,000 stores, you know, even if it's just additional revenue, it makes perfect sense. So we'll see how that goes. I'll be following this, and I'm going to see if there's any comments that anyone made about this expansion. Like I said, I haven't seen any comments, so my assumption is a lot of people don't know that this was said, but we'll see how that goes. Finally, I'm going to make a recommendation, and this is a little odd. As many of you know, I'm not a Bleeding Cool fan, right? Even though Rich was on the show, and Rich is fantastic, and I love talking to him, and I want to have him back on the show. You know, there's things I don't like about Bleeding Cool. Anyways, Bleeding Cool does do a very cool thing, and that is the Comixology bestseller list, and they do it every week. Rich is actually the one that writes the column, and basically he lists the top-selling books from Comixology for a particular week. And for those of you that are interested in the way that comic book sales work out, I recommend you check this list out. There will be a link in the show notes so you can look at the list. But really interesting stuff. And what I find really awesome is that some of the books that end up on the top of this list are not necessarily always the top-selling book. Now, new issue ranking and top overall ranking, Saga 54 was the number one book, which I totally understand. I foresee this being a ginormous book as well in print for the simple reason that, I mean, this is, I guess, kind of news as well. Saga is taking a one-year hiatus. And so this will be the final issue until it comes back in a year. And I think as a result, people are going to be seeking out this book in the chance that Saga does not come back. And I don't see that happening, but there might be some speculation going on there. And because the book's taking a hiatus, people may want to check it out, see what the book's about. If you haven't read it, and I mean, I assume everyone's read at least an issue or two of Saga, right? I mean, I'm not a huge Saga fan, but I've read the first couple of arcs, and it's fine. It's fine. Also on top of the list, I mean, some heavy hitters that I assumed would be on here, like Doomsday Clock number 6, Action Comics 1001, Justice League Dark number 1, Flash 51, Amazing Spider-Man number 2, Detective Comics 985. By the way, James Robinson is taking over Detective with issue 988, before we get the change in the creative team at 996, I think is what they said, or 994. Very excited for that. It's going to be an arc focusing on Two-Face. So I'm sure some of you Two-Face fans are going to be very excited to hear that as well. Really interesting. Injustice is one of the top-selling books. In fact, it seems to be in the top 10 of digital comics every time. And that makes sense because it is a digital exclusive and the price point is very well set. But, yeah, that's very interesting. Not a whole lot of indie books looking at the new issue rankings. I mean, I had to go pretty far down to number 24 to see Descender on there. And that was really the first, non-Marvel and DC book that was on this list. And I mean, this may not be a typical week to kind of judge, how things work for the simple reason that looking at the amount of releases, I mean, even Image didn't have a whole lot of releases for this week. Maybe because it's the final week of the month. I'm not sure what it is. But yeah, it was pretty much dominated by Marvel and DC. A few books on here that would never make it on like, you know, top 25, top 50, like, Wayward, Harbinger Wars, A Walk Through Hell. I mean, like, these are hovering around the 40s, and I think that's pretty good. And again, we don't know what the actual numbers is, and I'm gonna ask Rich if he has those numbers, and they probably can't be shared, but I'm just kinda curious to see, what the numbers are about, and if Comixology releases just a list, or if they actually release a sell-through list on these as well. And you know, say what you will about Comixology and reading digital comics. But the one thing about digital comics is you know for a fact that each of these sales are sold to an actual person. Whereas when you look at comic book sales to a comic shop, the numbers that Diamond puts out, that is not the case. The numbers that we see on those sales charts are numbers sold to comic shops and does not indicate sell-through in any way whatsoever. Now, some of the popular books may sell through the actual ordering, but I think for the majority, there's always going to be books that have, you know, at least a copy or two left over in your store. Unless you have a fantastic comic shop owner that knows exactly how many copies of a book to order, I don't think any comic shop owner is that good. I mean, there's some really good ones, so let me not, you know, disparage some people. There's some really good comic shop owners that know their business very well and pretty much order for the pull box customers and then maybe like a copy or two for the shelf. But outside of that, I mean, you're always going to have some books left over, and that's the books that you get in the boxes when you go box diving at a con, for example. So, really interesting stuff. I'll talk to Rich and if there's anything that I can share, I will. But I found this list pretty interesting. And there's books that I would love to see on here that are not on. And books that I think deserve much better sales than what was on here. For example, Bone Parish. I mean, that was one of my picks of the week for this past week. And that was at number 64. Now, I mean, if it was on print sales at 64, I mean, that would probably put it somewhere around like 30,000 copies, I would say. Digitally, it's not going to work that way, so I'm very curious to see how that works out. But that is going to wrap up this episode of Comic Talk Today. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for hanging out with me. And of course, if you want to get in touch, you can find me on Twitter at Geekvine. You can email nerdylegion@gmail.com. I will be back tomorrow, in which I will talk about this Marvel, Fox, Disney acquisition love triangle thing. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you then.